Good day to you. This is Greg Proctor of Gap Ministries. We're gathered here today to help fill in the gap, the void that's missing in our lives that only God's Word can fill in. Well, praise the Lord. I'm so pleased to be together with you today through this ministry of tape, of CD, of radio, of internet. What a privilege, what an honor it is for you and I to be able to come together and to study. Study your Father's Word. We're going to look at a study today that I simply want to entitle, Hold Fast to the Form of Sound Words. Hold Fast to the Form of Sound Words. If you would, grab your Bibles and open up to the epistle, the second epistle, that Paul wrote to the young evangelist Timothy, chapter 1, verse number 13, and we'll pull our foundational text, our verse of scripture, if you would, from that 13th verse in that second epistle of the first chapter of Timothy. But while you're turning there, I want to lay just a little bit of foundation, and then we'll go to our Father in prayer. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever heard someone say, "Oh, I said that without thinking"? Now, consider that just for a moment, because I think we've all heard that, and even in times past, we may have said that our very self. But the truth is, if we want to be honest with one another, they just opened the curtain of their heart, and they let you look in their heart. Or if we were the one that said it, we just opened up the curtain of our heart. Because I know in times past, I've said that. I've opened up the curtain from my heart and let someone look in. Because Jesus Christ Himself, He taught us in the great Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, great teachings in this 12th chapter about the heart and about speech and about actions. But He said in verse 34, in part of the verse, He said, "Out of the abundance, out of the surplus of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Meaning what you have, meaning what I have in abundance, in surplus, in our heart, will determine the very words of our mouth. If I want to determine where I'm at in my faith level or in my doubt level, depending on positive or negative, I just need to stop and examine my speech. Because my speech brings a revelation of exactly what I have in abundance. The Word of God says, "For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing how? By the Word of God." If I've got the Word of God in abundance, in surplus, in my heart, then I'm going to be talking faith. But if I have doubt, fear, unbelief, negativity, discouragement, whatever it might be, you put the label on it. If I have that in surplus, in abundance, in my heart, then that's going to be coming out of my mouth. Now, with that being said, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And we ask that by the anointing of the Spirit of God, you open up our eyes of our heart and help us to come to faith. Help us to put to practice your word and help us see the results thereof. And if there's any that's down and discouraged, if there's any that's deceived, disillusioned, those who may be in pain and hurt, Lord, let this word come to them and let it be like fresh manna from heaven. Let it minister to the very need of their spirit, Father, by your Holy Spirit. We ask these things, believing we receive in the name of Jesus, and we all say, Amen and Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 13, look what Paul tells the young evangelist through the unction of the Holy Spirit. He says, now mark this down in your mind's eye, highlight it in your Bible, that way you'll have it and you can see it. He says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me," how? "In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Oh, glory. He said, hold fast. Echo in the, I love this, in the Greek, it sounds like our English word echo. And so that gives us an understanding, if you would, even in the natural, what you and I need to do to be able to have the form of sound words in your life and in my life that we have heard. How did we hear? We heard by the Spirit of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. He said that you heard in faith and that you heard in love. We'll break that down and move along as we the Spirit leads and as time allows. But I want you to think about this. Hold fast. Echo. To hold as a possession. To hold as ability. To hold as condition. You see, in your life, in my life, there are going to be many words that are going to pass across your various gate of your eyes, of your ears, across the buds of your mind, if you would, trying to get from your mind, from your soul, into your heart, into your spirit. And you've got to recognize, I've got to recognize whether they're spoken to me in and of from faith, in and of from love. And if they're not, then I cast those aside as weed seeds. And I put up a guard. And I ask the Spirit of God to help me to cast out, to break up this fallow ground and to cast out any weed seed and make sure then that my heart is open and receptive to the seed of the Word of God. Amen. And then as I put that as a possession in my life, it changes my ability. I'm able to do what otherwise I could not do because I can't do it on my own, but through Christ I can do all things. And by Him I have a condition that's not set by the world, that's not set by the flesh, that's not set by the devil, but a condition that is set by thus saith the Lord. When you and I are in and of faith and we're operating in love and the Spirit of God is bringing word into our lives, it changes your life. It changes my life because He said if we would echo, if we would hold in possession, hold in ability, hold in condition, the very form of sound words. That word form, it means a sketch for imitation. The very form of sound words. Words that are right. Words that build you up, that build me up. I want to talk about this and we'll come back. But He said, hold fast the form, the sketch for imitation. Now, let's go to the Old Testament and let's see and understand what's being said here. This form is a pattern, if you would. A pattern that will build in your life. In other words, words that you hear, if they're not sound words, they're going to build a pattern in and of from the world, from the flesh, from the carnal man, from the devil. But if you and I, if we hold fast to sound words, then we're going to have a pattern being built in our life from the Word of God. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to the Old Testament, the great book of Exodus. Let's read Exodus chapter 25, verse number 9. And then let's drop down and read verse number 40 for a second witness. Now this is God talking to Moses, and He tells him in verse number 9, He says, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and after the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. Now, in other words, God said, I'm speaking to you, Moses, and I'm giving you a vision of what I want you to build. And what you see in heaven, in the supernatural, I want you to make manifest. I want you to bring to pass. I want you to build in the natural. When God talks to you, when He talks to me, when somebody talks to you, when you talk to me, when you tell me and you mention a person's name, I don't say like you mentioned the name Clyde. I don't, in my mind, I don't see the letters C-L-Y-D-E. Or if you mention a dog, I don't see the letters D-O-G. What do I see? I see Clyde the person, or I see a dog, my dog, or some other dog that has made an impact on my life. Or if it's a cat, or if it's a flower, or if it's an automobile, whatever it might be, I don't see the name of that. I see in pictures. And that's what God is doing here. He's speaking to Moses, and He's speaking to him words. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And those words are creating a vision for him. Now, and that vision is how he's going to build a pattern, a building block. Verse number 40, Exodus 25 and 40. God said unto Moses, He said, and look that thou make them after their pattern. What? Highlight in your mind's eye. After their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. God told Moses, and Moses is telling his workers, and this is coming to pass. In other words, Speak what you hear. Do what you see. That's what's being said here. This is what the instruction that is being given. Speak what you hear. Do what you see. Now, what does that mean to you and I today? How does this Old Testament, which is written as a type and a shadow, as an example for you and I, what does that mean to us? Timothy was told by Paul under the unction of the Holy Spirit to hold fast the pattern, the form of sound words. Jesus Christ, He give us this instruction. We're going to come back to Timothy in a moment, but let's look at the example of Jesus. Now, we're just laying a foundation where we can put this to practice. Go with me to the Gospel of John, and let's see what Jesus, the way He lived His life. John chapter 5, if you would, verse number 19. Notice this is red letter. Jesus is speaking, and He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing." Now, this is a double negative, emphatic, trying to teach you and I something. The Son, even though He's the Son of God, can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth. Now, highlight in your mind's eye, underline it in the Bible, what He seeth the Father do. Jesus said, in other words, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. How does He see it? For whatsoever things He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Let's see how He does it. Verse 20, "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel." But let's go over to the 8th chapter. Let's get just a little bit clearer picture of this. John chapter 8, verse number 28. Once again, red letter, notice what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." How did God teach Him? He spoke to Him, but when He spoke to Him, He saw. It was a vision. Hold fast the very form, the pattern of sound words. That's what Paul told Timothy under the unction of the Holy Spirit. That's what God's telling you and I today by the power of the Spirit of God. And we have Jesus for the example. Let's keep going. John chapter 12, a third witness to what we're talking about. John chapter 12, verse number 49. Jesus says, "For I have not spoken," what? "I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He hath gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak." In other words, we're talking about Jesus. He heard and He saw. He spoke and He acted. Hallelujah. Jesus heard and He saw. He spoke and He acted. In other words, what you and I say out of the abundance of the heart is going to determine what we do. We don't have time to look at it, but in the great epistle of James, James chapter 3, we find out that your tongue, that my tongue, is our stirring wheel of life. And our tongue is going to determine which way our life goes. Meaning what? Meaning your speech, meaning my speech. And Jesus, His life went in the way and the will of the Father because He held fast to the Word from heaven. And that's what Paul was instructing Timothy. And that same instruction is coming to you, coming to me today. Let's look at a fourth witness. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse number 10. Jesus says, red letter, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth what? The works." Words and works go hand in hand. Speech will determine action. Amen? And so in your life, in my life today, if there's action that is coming to pass in our life that we're not satisfied with, that the Father is not pleased with, then we need to step back and we need to see what we're allowing across our eye gate, what we're allowing in our ear gate, what we're allowing to come out of our tongue gate, because our speech will determine that. And that's how the enemy is going to try to work on you, to work on me, to get us out of God's will, out of God's plan, and to take us into a place where we're living on a lower level of Christianity, a lower level of salvation than Jesus died, resurrected, ascended on high to give us. He came that you and I might not only have life, that we might have it more abundantly. But the thief, he come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He come to bring the works of death. Hebrews 2:14, Satan is death in your life, in my life. And those works will come to pass if we hear what the devil says. But if we hear what Jesus says, Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If we want abundant life, we've got to hear the truth. And we've got to speak the truth. And when we do that, then our life will perform the Word of God. It'll bring action of the Word of God. It will bring a conditional change in our life. Remember? Hold fast, to hold as a possession, to bring forth an ability, to bring forth a condition. If you don't like the condition of your life, if I don't like the condition of my life, I got to see what I'm saying. I got to see what I'm holding on to. I got to see what I'm embracing. I got to listen to what I'm speaking, because I can change my life by changing my speech. If I'm saying what God said, I'm going to have what God promised. But if I'm speaking what the devil has spoken, then I'm going to have what the enemy is trying to bring to pass in my life. Now let's go back and let's reread our text and get it down deep in our heart, soul, and life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 13, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, how? In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Sound words. Sound words, it means to be right. It means to have, to bring to pass sound health. To be well in body, oh glory, but to be true in doctrine. You see, the devil, all through, right from the very beginning, but in the garden, you see how he wanted to corrupt doctrine. How he wanted to corrupt what God had told Adam and Eve. Remember, hath God said? Hath God said? Trying to what? Change the doctrine. Change the Word of God. But if we'll hold fast the form, the pattern, God's building block of sound, of healthy words. Words mean logos in the Greek, meaning something said, including the thought and the motive behind it. If we'll get God's thought, if we'll get God's motive behind what He said, then you and I, our condition of life will forever be changed. It'll be changed into the image of the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, the firstborn of the Son of God, of the Heavenly Father, the Son of God, but also He is the image of the invisible God. Oh, glory. So let's look in this particular study. Let's look at number one, your heart is your seedbed. Number two, let's look at the fact that you and I need to keep our heart secured. Number three, let's look at the fact that you and I, our heart harvest, it comes from our seed. And so all of these things, they determine everything about our life. And we'll document that in and from the Word of God. Now, if you would, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13. Let's lay our eyes on the Word of God. Let's see right from the very words of Jesus what He said. Number one, your heart is your seedbed. Your heart is your seedbed. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 18. Jesus says, hear ye. In other words, we hear how? By pictures. So see this. See what the Father is saying through the Son, where you can say what Jesus has said, where you can do what Jesus wants done. Amen? Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 19. When anyone... Say, that's me. I want to hear. Amen. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, that's what we want to do. But we want to let the Holy Spirit to teach us. We don't want to stop by just hearing it. We want to receive it and put it into practice. But here Jesus has given us a specific instruction. He says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. But now the reason why I want to read that verse, there's much in-depth teaching there, but for the sake of time that you and I have together, all we can cover is what I want to pull in verse number 19. is we're talking about your heart. Your heart is the soil. In other words, your heart is what receives the word, the seed, and is what's going to produce out of your life, out of my life, everything about our life. Now let's have a second witness on that. Turn over to the 15th chapter, Matthew 15, verse number 16. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 16. And Jesus said, "Are you also without understanding? Do not yet understand that whatsoever enteth in the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out in the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, they defile a man." Now mark that down. What comes out of your mouth comes from where? From your heart. Highlight in your mind's eye, underline it in your Bible. That is Matthew 15, 18. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth by the heart, and they defile a man." Verse 19. "For out of the heart," out of your spirit, out of your seed bed. Your heart is your seed bed. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Verse 20. "These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man." In other words, the Pharisees here, they were in a form of religion about what made a man common or unclean, what defiled him. And it was all the things on the outside, the external. But Jesus is trying to teach us it's about the heart. Your heart is your seedbed. My heart is my seedbed. What's coming out of my life is a direct result of what I put in my heart. Hold fast the form of sound words. If you want a different pattern in your life, if you want different results, a different condition of your life, if I want a different condition of my life, then I've got to change what I'm taking in. And how do I get it into my heart? How's the word sown in my heart? It's what I speak, what I'm saying, what I hear, and then what I speak. Am I holding fast the form of sound words? Am I speaking health? Am I speaking true doctrine? Am I saying what God said? Or am I saying what the enemy said? Because you see, there is a harvest. I'll use this illustration to help us. Just something from the natural, as Christ did, to paint a picture of the spiritual. We're all very familiar with Benjamin Franklin. But let's talk about seed, okay? One day, Benjamin Franklin, he received a gift of a whisk broom from India. As he was looking this broom over, he noticed that there were a few seed that were fastened in the whips of the broom, and they were hidden there. So he carefully removed them, and he took them out, and he prepared a spot in the soil, and he planted those few seed. It wasn't long till those seed, they sprang to life, and they started blooming, and it wasn't long till the first crop came up, and he was able to plant more seeds, and that seed brought a bigger harvest, and he was able to distribute those seed among his friends and among his neighbors. And their crops, they too were planted, and they bloomed, and they come up, and they produced fruit. They flourished. Well, in this way, Benjamin Franklin, he was responsible for introducing a broom corn into the American colonies, and it started the American broom manufacturing industry. Think about that. From just a few tiny seed came a great harvest. From a few tiny seed changed all the colonies. It brought something to them that they didn't have before. So how important it is that you and I, that's why Solomon wrote in the great book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4, "Guard your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." In other words, everything about your life is going to be determined from and by what you put in your heart, what I put in my heart. So don't let one tiny seed of hypocrisy, one tiny seed of jealousy, one tiny seed of hatred, one tiny seed of those 18 works of the manifest works of the flesh that Galatians speaks of in Galatians chapter 5, don't let them be sown in your heart, for they will produce a harvest. And the number 18 in Bible Numbers means what? It means bondage. Will bring you into bondage. Will bring me into bondage. Rather, have the 9 fruit of the Spirit come out of your life, come out of my life, which brings freedom and liberty. Your heart is a seedbed. We could spend much time on this, but I want to move ahead in the limited amount of time that we've got. Number 2, keep your heart secured. And we talked about this just for a moment ago, but I want to lay our eyes on it. Go with me to the great book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4. We spoke of it, but let's lay our eyes on the full context of what Solomon was teaching. You have to keep your heart secured. I have to keep my heart secure. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. Proverbs chapter 4. Let's start reading, if you would, in verse 19. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 19. The Word of God says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Verse 20. "My son, my child," oh glory. I love that because it's showing ownership. God's saying, I'm associated with you. Oh hallelujah. There's some people who, they won't claim me. They might not claim you, but God does. God claims us. He loves us, and He wants to be associated with us. He says, "My son, my child, attend." Oh hallelujah. "Attend to my words." This attend, it means it's kashab in the Hebrew, and it means to prick up the ears. In other words, tune in and listen. "My child, attend to my words, inclining thine ear unto my saying." Inclining, meaning to stretch, to spread out. "Incline thine ears unto my saying." Remember what Jesus said in John 6:63? He said, "My words, they are what? They are spirit and they are life." Verse 21. "Let them not depart from thy eyes," your eye gate. "Keep them" where? "In the midst of your heart." If I will keep my eye on the Word of God, then I'm going to have the Word of God in abundance in my heart. And I'm going to speak out of the abundance of my heart, and that's going to cause my tongue, being the stern will of my life, to turn my life to the pattern, to the condition of what? Of the Word of God. Hold fast the pattern, the building block of sound words, true in doctrine, health in body, in mind, to be beneficial. Glory, glory be to God. He said, "For they are life," verse 22. What? His words. "They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." This is the health from a Hebrew word meaning curative, meaning medicine. God's word is a medicine to your life. God's word is a medicine to my life. Now we need to flip that over and look at the other side of the coin. This is the head side. This is the positive side. What's the other side of the coin? What's the negative side of the coin? If I'm taking in words that's other than the Word of God, then they're going to be the opposite of medicine. They're going to be the opposite of something that would bring a cure. Going to be opposite of something that is medicine. But it's going to be poison. It's going to be something that is harmful. Something that brings death and destruction. The devil's words brings death, brings destruction. His words is what? Jesus said in John 8:44 that the devil was a liar. And not just a liar, but he was the father of all lies. And there was no truth in him. Not one drop of truth is in him. And so you and I, if we need to evaluate our situation, we need to look at our life. If there's some areas in our life that has death abiding, that has destruction abiding, that has something other than abundant life that Jesus Christ promised, that has something other than health, something other than is thriving and producing fruit for the kingdom of God, we need to evaluate it and we need to check our seed. And we need to secure our heart. We need to come into the place where we break up that fallow ground again. And we say, wait a minute, the Word said that God's Word was what? Was life unto all that find it, and health to their flesh. And if I don't have that, I need to back up, and I need to see what's happening. Because He said in verse 23, Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart, guard it, protect it. To maintain thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, the spring of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Look what he says, verse 24. Put away from thee a forward mouth, a deceitful mouth, a perverse mouth. Put it away. Perverse lips put far from thee. Perverse lips. Anything that turns you away from the truth of the Word of God, from the promises of the Word of God, from the blessings of the Word of God. Verse 25, let thy eyes, why? Because whatever you let in your gate, that's what's going to be absorbed into your mind, into your soul, and ultimately into your spirit, your heart. Let thy eyes look right on. Oh, I love this. And let thy eyelids look straight before thee. What are we talking about when we talk about our eyes and then we talk about our eyelids? We're talking about physical vision. We're talking about mental vision, a mental state, a mental clarity. What you set your heart upon, remember, what you set your affection upon, that's the area that you're going to be turned to, that you're going to grow towards. What's your physical vision? What's your mental vision? In other words, what are you looking at right now? You can tell by the fruit that's in your life. I can tell by the fruits in my life. There's some people right now in the sound of my voice, your life is in chaos. Fear is coming against you. You have no peace of mind. You try to lay your head down at night and rest and sleep. And the enemy is coming and he is bombarding you with all these thoughts of negativity, of lack, of death, of destruction. You don't know what's going to happen to your children. You don't know what's going to happen about your job. You don't know if you're going to be able to keep your home or your automobile. Your finances are in chaos. And he's bringing all of this picture up before you. And he's building it up, word upon word, picture upon picture, image upon image. And he's putting pressure on you. And he's trying to get you to say what he's saying, where your life will turn toward that picture. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before thee on what? On the Word of God. On what Jesus has done, accomplished on the cross at Calvary by coming up out of that tomb alive, defeating the enemy, destroying, Hebrews 2:14, the works of death of the devil. Verse 26, then look at what happens about your direction of life. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Verse 27, Proverbs 4:27. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. What you let in your heart, what comes out your mouth, will determine which way you turn, which way I turn. We've got to keep our heart secured. This is not my words. This is the words that is written to you, to me, that would bring peace of mind, that would bring the working of the Word of God out of your life, out of my life, that would bring all the promises which are yes and amen, that Jesus died and was resurrected and ascended on high to give the believer. Jesus came that you and I would have abundant life, but we have to have the Word. He is that Word to have abundant life. Let me use this illustration. There was a young man. He works for this aquarium, and he does a lot of diving. He goes and dives for exotic fish, and they do a lot of selling of these exotic fish and bring them into people's lives who have aquariums in their homes and their businesses and so forth. And he said one of the most popular items for an aquarium is shark. And he explained that what he would do, he would find out how big their aquarium was, and then he'd go out and he'd catch a shark according to the size that shark needed to be for their aquarium. In other words, he said, if you had a small aquarium, he found a baby shark. Because if you catch a shark, a baby shark, and you can find it, it will stay in proportion to the aquarium. Now stay with me. In other words, you can have a shark that is 6 inches long, yet it is fully matured. It's fully matured. Why? Because it's in proportion to its area. But if you turn the shark loose in the ocean, they grow to 8 feet long. This is what happens to Christians. Okay? Now, we've got a picture of this in our mind. You see, there's a lot of little 6-inch Christians, and they're swimming around in a little mud puddle that the devil has presented to them. And they can't ever grow out of what they're limited by. And what they're limited by is what they see and what they hear. And they don't see and hear the words of God. But they see and hear the words of the flesh, of the world. Ultimately, it's the words of the working of the enemy of death, the devil. But if you'll pull them out of that little mud puddle, if you'll put them into a large aquarium, a large arena, if you'll put them into the whole creation of the living God, only then can they become great in Jesus, by Jesus, because of what He's done. Only then can they truly be what Jesus died to make them. Amen? You and I, we've got to get out of this limitation, of these small pools, of these small puddles, and we've got to get into the plan and the will and the working of the living God in these last days. And the way that we do that is we keep our heart secure. Our heart is a place for the Word of God. It's not a place for the lies of the devil. It's not a place of what the world would say or the flesh would feel. It's not the condition that your flesh is going to tell you that you're going to have to stay in. No, it's what thus saith the Almighty God, the living God. Let Jesus be the Lord of your life. I have to let Him be the Lord of my life. I'll have to let Him have the final say. I have to, what? Verse 23, Proverbs chapter 4. Keep my heart. Keep thy heart. Guard thy heart with all diligence. For out of my heart are the issues, are the spring of life. If I don't like what's coming out of my life right now, I need to change what I'm putting in it. Amen? And the way I sow that seed in it is what I look at and what I say. Hurriedly, we've got to move to number 3. Your heart harvests comes from your seed. We've tried to say that, but I want to break it down and go just a little bit farther. Let's go back to the New Testament. Let's go to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4. Let's lay our eyes once again on the teachings of Jesus. Now, if you notice in this fourth chapter, he starts out in verse number 3 by saying, "Hearken." In other words, I want you to hear. And when you hear, you're going to see that, "Behold, there went out a sower to sow." Okay? So there's always something being sown. But let's look, for sake of time, you read this in your home study time, and let's see what Jesus says. He says in verse number 23, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Why? "And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet it, it shall be measured unto you. Unto you that hear shall more be given." Oh, glory. Verse 25, "For he that hath, to him shall be given, and him that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." Verse 26, "And he said, So is the kingdom of God." So is the kingdom of God. "As if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear." But verse 29, "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." We sow seeds with our tongues, and with our tongues, just like in the natural, when you put a seed in the ground, it comes up. We don't know how it comes up. It grows up, he said in verse 27, "and we knoweth not how." We don't know how it works. We just know if we put a tomato seed in the ground, we get a tomato plant, then we get tomato blooms, and then we get the fruit thereof. We get the fruit of a tomato. We get a tomato. We don't know how it works, but it works. And he's told us seed time and harvest in the great book of Genesis. What is it? Genesis chapter 8 is going to continue forever. So today in your life, in my life, our harvest, our heart harvest, comes from our seed. And there's always seed being sown. But you've got to guard your heart and take in the Word of God. I've got to guard in my heart and take in the Word of God. And not thus saith the world. Not thus saith the flesh. Not thus saith the devil. If I want to see my life changed. Now let's have a... We don't have a lot of time, but we could look more at this. But let's go to the Old Testament. Let's see what the psalmist David said. He brought forth this very truth, this very reality. Go with me to Psalms chapter number 45 and lay your eyes on the Word of God. If you notice, this 45th Psalm is written to the chief musician upon Shanaman, the sons of Korah, Mashiel, a song of loves. Now, what does that mean to you and I? It means that this song is a song that is supposed to bring instruction. Bring instruction to you. That's what you need to know. That's what I need to know. If we need some guidance, if we need some instruction, if we need some understanding, then this will bring it to us. What did he say? Psalms 45 and 1. He said, "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king." Now here's why we came here. Look at the last part of the verse. Highlight it in your mind's eye. Underline it in your Bible. He said, "My tongue," my speech in other words, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Remember, your tongue is like a rudder on a ship. It's like a bridle bit in a horse's mouth. It's going to turn that ship. It's going to turn that horse. It's going to be the steering wheel of your life. It's going to turn your life. He said, "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." How do we sow the seed of the Word of God in our heart? We say what God says. How do we sow the seed of the devil, of the enemy? We say what the flesh is feeling. What we hear the enemy say as he sits on our shoulder. My tongue, your tongue, is the pen of a ready writer. What you say, what I say, is going to be written on the very table of our heart. Now Solomon said, I believe it was Solomon in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, somewhere down around verse 18. He said, there is one that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You and I, if we want something curative, if we want to bring medicine to our lives, we've got to speak the words of wisdom. The words of wisdom is the Word of God. But if we don't do that, then we're going to cut our own life up by the sword of dissension, of strife, and envy, and jealousy, and hatred. All the things of the world, of the enemy, which is the devil. He wants to get into your speech. He wants to get into my speech. But we can change our very life. Are you ready? Are you willing? You're able. I'm able. If I'm ready and I'm willing, I can change my life. I can have a tongue of the wise, and that tongue can bring health to me. It can bring health to my family. It can bring health to all those in my world. It's according to what kind of harvest I want. Let's close, if you would, once again in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew. Let's go. We quoted all around this verse. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Let's read the full thought of what Jesus taught. Matthew chapter 12. Lay your eyes on the Word of God with me. He says in verse number 33, he says, "Either make the tree good and his what? His fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit." Well, your speech, my speech, is the fruit of what? Of our tree. Of our heart. Of our spirit. And he's given instruction here about the sad situation that these scribes and Pharisees are in. He says in verse 34, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak," what? "Speak good things." In verse 34, "For out of the heart, out of the abundance, the surplus of the heart, the mouth speaks." He called them the offspring of the snake, if you would. Because why? They were speaking contrary to the Word of God. They were speaking. There's only two sources in this world, good and evil. That's it. You got God's Word and you got the devil's Word. God brought His forth His Word, remember? and the serpent came in the garden and he altered the doctrine. He altered the words. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance, out of the surplus of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Verse 35. A good man, a good person, out of the good treasure, the good deposit. What do you do at a bank? You make a deposit. You have in your account, your bank account, according to what you have deposited therein. You have nothing other than what you deposited in that bank account. Well, you have none other in your heart. I have none other in my heart than what I have deposited in. How did I deposit? Your tongue as the pen of a ready writer. My tongue is as a pen of a ready writer. That's how we make the deposit. What we let across our eye gate, what we let across our ear gate, what we see, what we say, comes out of abundance of our heart. We write it on the table of our heart. We write it in the very pen of our tongue. And it's engraved therein. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. But an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Verse 36. But I say, Jesus is talking, red letter. He said, but I say unto you, that every idle word, argos in the Greek, meaning inactive, unemployed. Think about it. Every word that's not employed by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Father in heaven, that's not productive. Think about it. But I say in you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Remember, your hard harvest comes from your seed. My hard harvest comes from my seed. Verse 37. For by thy words, mark it down, highlight it in your mind's eye. This is Jesus himself teaching you and I. He says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. When all else is said and done, we will be judged by what we have said. I will be judged by what I have said. You will be judged by what you have said. That's why Paul told Timothy, hold fast to the form of sound words. We have to hold fast to the form, to the pattern, God's building block of sound words. This is what we've got to get in our heart, and it's got to be in the forefront. The very hold fast to that form, to that pattern, that sketch for imitation. In other words, what you see God say, what you see God do, what you hear God say will produce what you see, and it will cause a turning point in your life. It will cause a turning point in my life. Remember, after their pattern, you're going to have what you hear in your life. I'm going to have what I hear in my life, because what I hear is what I'm going to see, and what I see is what I'm going to speak, because I've heard it and then I'm going to do it. If I want sound words, if I want to be have sound health, to be well in body, to be in true in doctrine, then I've got to have an ability to hold on to the Word of God, because the seed will be there. Jesus told me, he said, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I want to close with this illustration. The tomb of King Tut, it was discovered and it was opened in 1927. And in that tomb there was a bottle of sealed seeds that was found. And in time, these seeds, they were planted and they produced a plant. They sprouted forth life in spite of the fact they had been bottled up for over 3,000 years. Now think about this. Those seeds had been bottled up for over 3,000 years. They hadn't touched soil. They hadn't been watered. But the moment that they were placed in soil, the moment they were watered, they came forth. You see, a lot of times we say stuff and we think we've got by with it. Jesus said, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We've got to speak what God says. And all those years, the germ of life in those seeds had not died. All they needed was to be planted in the ground and watered, Today, we need to know that we sow seeds in our heart by what we speak. So let's sow the seeds of what? Of spirit and life. John 6:63. Jesus said, "My words, they are spirit and they are life." Let's don't say those things that will bring God's judgment. Pray with me. Father God, I thank You for this time that we've had together in Your Word. I know right now, under the sound of my voice, that there's many people that are under condemnation by the devil. They're in harmful situations. They're battling depression, oppression. They're battling physical sickness, emotional sickness. They're going through many trials and tribulations. The storms of life, the waves are trying to overtake them. But I ask right now that by the power of Your Spirit that You anoint them and allow that anointing where the Word of God says by the prophet Isaiah, destroying off yokes, let it come upon people and break off, destroy off the lies, the deception, the delusion of the enemy, and speak to each person under the sound of my voice a specific word that they can say, and let it bring vision of what You're saying to them, how much You love them, how Jesus has came to change their life. And let them say that, and let it be written on the table of their heart, and let their life be turned toward You, Father God, toward abundant life, toward Your grace, which is sufficient, and turned away from the working of death. Father, You said that through Jesus, that if Your words, if they were abiding in me and I was abiding in You, that I could ask what I will and it would be done. Jesus, You said that if I ask in Your name, the Father would do it, that He'd be glorified in the Son. I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for those who are bound up right now by the Spirit of God, that You speak a genuine, specific word to them and let vision come. And let them say what God says, no matter what they feel, no matter what the situation looks like, and let their condition of life, let them hold fast to the form, to the building block of God's Word, and let them see health come. Let them see medicine come into their life. Let them see circumstances and situations change. Let marriages be healed. Let broken relationships between men and women, between husbands and wives, between parents and children, between co-workers, let healing come right now for the glory of God. Where there's despair, let hope come. Where there's fear, let faith come. Where there's sickness, let healing come, Father. I ask in the name of Jesus, believing that we receive, and I praise You for it. Hallelujah. If we've helped you by bringing God's Word to you, would you please write us? It'd be a great encouragement to us. We desire sincerely your prayers for this ministry. If we can help you pray about anything, we would love for you to send us prayer requests where we could pray with you. If you need a Bible, we'd love to assist you in helping you get a Bible. If you need more Bible study materials, we ask you to go to our website, www.gregproctor.net. There's many Bible studies available for download in written and audio and video format. If you need help finding a local church, we would love to help you find one in your area. If you live in our area, we would invite you to come and be in church with us at the Gospel Lighthouse where the Word is taught. But the most important thing to remember, what we can't ever forget, remember God's Word. God's Word will change your life.